Salam and good evening to you, worthy friend. Please, please, come closer.
Too close, a little too close.
Hello and welcome to episode 44 of the Disney Brit Podcast for Wednesday, the 23rd of June 2010. Thank you for joining us, although I know the show has come out a little bit late and we apologise for that. But both Craig and Juz were ill. But what have we got for you on this edition of the show? Well, Craig and Juz join me as always for our usual news and rumours segment. We're then going to take another trip around the world in 80 segments as we look at Fantasyland's dining and shopping. And we've got another extra little segment for you. Disney this past week have released almost the survey results for a Facebook survey they put up about advice for first-time guests, and they've announced that in the press release. And we're going to discuss just what Disney have put and whether we agree with what they say. So, without any further ado, let's get on with this edition of the Disney Brit Podcast.
Attraction Tickets Direct is the UK's number one ticket provider for Disney, Universal, and the worlds of Discovery Parks. They offer unbeatable prices and expert advice on all the major tickets and attractions in Orlando, California, and Paris. The service Attraction Tickets Direct provides is second to none. Lines are open 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. 7 days a week. Customers receive real tickets, not vouchers, within 7 days. And there are no hidden extras, such as credit card fees or postage surcharges. Now that's what you call great service. Log on to www.attractionticketsdirect.com or call free on 0800-975-0002.
Good morning, sire.
Good morning, Zazu.
Checking in with the morning report.
Fire away.
Welcome to the news and rumours for this show, and as always, my intrepid explorers join me. Hello, Juz.
Hello, Disney pop people. Hello, Mr. Adam.
Intrepid explorers, you like that? I thought it was a bit different.
No, not really.
Okay. And Craig.
Good evening. The scores from the World Cup are Spurs 1, Slovenia 0.
Whatever.
Get in there, Jermaine Defoe. And well done to America. You were robbed in two games, so you deserve to come top. You won't get much further, but well done.
So, as you can tell, we are recording this show slightly late. The England game and the USA game have happened. Therefore, it is Wednesday. Because, Juz and Craig, you've both been poorly, haven't you?
Been very ill. On death's door, the two of us.
We have. We've just managed to come back, to be honest. Been touch and go.
Very much.
The dead, almost.
Hmm. This actually could be us from our afterlife. You don't know.
If I was in an afterlife, I wouldn't come back and do this unless it's hell.
Oh, that's true.
Maybe you die in, the devil says, yeah, hell, you got to do the Disney Brit Podcast.
Blah, blah, blah. Right, okay, let's get on with some news then, shall
we? Before we do that, I just want to say hello to Bev Grace, one of our friends, who's over in America at the moment, and he's updating us all about what's going on. She's staying in the Hard Rock Hotel and all the things going on with Harry Potter Land and things. So it's very interesting reading your status updates, so thank you, Bev.
This is Disney Podcast. What do you think you're doing?
Well, she's gonna. She'll say,
"We're gonna be sued now. We're gonna be sued by Disney for putting other stuff on."
Yeah.
Well, you've got to find a good lawyer then, haven't you?
Well,
yeah.
Hard to find.
Yeah, I don't know where we're getting one of them.
Where's Lou?
Right, okay, then let's head into Walt Disney World and do some news. Not a huge amount, so let's share what we have got with you. To start off with some refurbs for you, there was a few different bits of refurbs that are coming up, some short, some fairly long in length, that I thought you'd like to know about. Of course, we've already announced It's a Small World closing in August, but there are also several others. Toy Story Mania is going to be closed from the 16th to the 28th of August. A strange one, bearing in mind it is literally just closed for a weekend to put in the new games. One Man's Dream is going to be closing for a lengthy rehab since the 16th of August to the 2nd of November. The Liberty Square River Boat, I can't speak tonight, is going down the 16th of August to the 25th.
Oh, not reminder, not literally.
Not literally, no. Not literally sinking. It's going down. Just get your life, folks. Yeah. It's a Small World is closed 1st of August to the 22nd of October. Star Tours will close on the 8th of September. For the changes to Star Tours 2, which we'll explain a little bit more a little bit later on. But interesting changes. I'm really interested into the change for One Man's Dream, that it's closing 16th of August to the 2nd of November. So there must be some massive changes coming there.
I think it's crazy that Toy Story Mania is closing at, you know, at height of British season still.
12 days as well, nearly 2 weeks. Yeah,
but they don't care, do they? Because it's the end of their, it's their valley season. So Americans have all gone home, so...
It is true.
Well, us British haven't.
I know, but that's, you know, it's their valley season, isn't it? 16th, yeah, is the day it starts.
It does start to get a lot quieter then as well, yeah.
Around it start, why didn't wait until September? I know, Juzzy.
Yes. Because other people might go to somewhere else instead, because Toy Story Mania, instead of driving, they go, if that's closed, I'm going to some other place instead.
Summer Night Tastic does end on the 14th as well, so they've timed all these with the end of Summer Night Tastic, other than It's a Small World.
But you can live without Summer Night Fantastic, because there's going to be something else. But Toy Story Mania is Toy Story Mania.
It means there's only two rides in Hollywood Studios now, doesn't it?
Oh, here we go. He's counting parks by rides. What with Harry Potter, and it's only got three rides, whatever it is. And his,
it's two rides in Hollywood Studios. Yeah, it's one ride in Harry Potter, I think, isn't it? Whatever, I can't remember what I said.
Grumpy, here we go again. There's some changes there. Toy Story Mania just seems strange. I'm looking forward to seeing what they're doing in One Man's Dream. If it's going down for refurb, it means they're keeping it. And I really like that. I really like the sort of being able to walk through it. Maybe they're going to add some more stuff in, take some stuff out, which would be nice to see. Okay, Juz, what we got? July the 4th.
Yeah, July the 4th is the day everyone remembers, of course. It's the day that we got bored of America and gave it back to you and decided to concentrate on India as part of our great kingdom. Because that was a safer bet. Yes.
Yeah, right.
So the day that you celebrate in the States, the day we got bored and gave you and said, play on your own, lads.
Charles, you do remember, no, it's also Kieran's birthday, which is what we should be celebrating.
I was coming to that. It's also Kieran's birthday, which, of course, is why Disney are putting on fireworks, especially
for... Does that mean, with it being Independence Day, is that the day you're going to let him out into the wild? You're just going to open the door and go, off you go, go on, off you go.
Not, no.
Release him back into the...
No? Oh. Back into the wild, yeah, wild child. He'll only be six.
This worries me that A, he's a teacher, and B, poor little Harry here. Do you know how kids work? You don't just do that at a certain age. Go, off you go, into the wild.
It's not like Harry's gone.
It's not like...
I let him out earlier.
It's not like hamsters.
Rabbits.
Rabbits, squirrels. Yeah, that kind of thing. Squirrels!
Anyway,
4th of July at Walt Disney World Resort. At Magic Kingdom, we have Celebrate America Fireworks, which will fill the sky at 9 p.m. July the... Can you guess it?
4th.
Yeah. Guests who would like to begin the celebratory weekend today early can enjoy the special fireworks on July the 3rd at 9 p.m. After fireworks, guests can enjoy Disney's Main Street Electrical Parade of Lights, Music and Magic at 10 p.m. And if you're... still awake at midnight on the 4th. That will be at midnight on the 4th. Gosh, really pay attention. Disney Hollywood Studios, it's not worth going to the fireworks because there's no rides open, is that right? Special fireworks sets and rock and roller coaster soundtrack will be presented at 9:50 p.m. on July the 4th. Providing guests with a bonus time extravaganza to complement Fantasmic. Do you know what? That's the one at the moment out of them that I'd be tempted to. I quite like the theme tune with rock and roller soundtrack there. Epcot Illuminations Reflections of Earth, which is the dazzling effects, colour lasers, brilliant fireworks and fiery torch, all choreographed to the musical score.
becomes even more dynamic on July the 4th as the normal show is supplemented with a patriotic finale. Performance begins at 10 p.m. So you could actually leg it from... No, you couldn't leg it from one to the other, could you?
No, you'd struggle.
You could. You could get the finale if you legged it from Hollywood Studios. Because you're only about a 10-minute, 15-minute run at high speed.
Yeah.
So you could see the finale, which is the only difference to it, isn't there? early in the day, guests will be treated to the Voice of Liberty concert featuring expanded cast of singers. Pardon?
Who are amazing.
Oh. Expanded cast of singers plus the Spirit of America 5 and Drums Corps. Disney characters at 12:30, 1:45, 3 p.m. at the American Gardens Theatre.
No, they're on the American Gardens Theatre stage, really, probably.
No, does it matter? At the American Gardens Theatre, it's the same area. Yeah, they're going to be on the. They're going to be on the stage. They're not just going to be
at the theatre.
I think I could say at the theatre.
Just get mine back.
Can I go to the independent adjudicator, please?
Yeah,
can I say either? Thank you.
Yeah.
Park hours on July 4th at 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. Disney's Animal Kingdom guests can enjoy the regular attractions and shows from July 4th from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Of course, no fireworks there because the animals are big scaredy cats and they run away. So the thing to remember more than anything else is this is an incredibly busy day. This is New Year's Eve type busyness. So make sure you pick a park and stay at it. And
yeah.
Studios is going to be a killer, let's be honest.
Yeah,
it's just too small and it's going to be murder. Magic Kingdom, once again, it's going to be mad because everyone wants to go there.
And you need to be at Magic Kingdom by about 4 p.m. absolute latest to really be able to get in.
So my money, once again, like New Year's Eve is, I love Illuminations. I know there's only a bit of a change to it, but Epcot's at least I can move around without getting squished.
Mm. So would you do Magic Kingdom on the 3rd? See it on the 3rd, the evening of the 3rd?
Yes, I'd do Magic Kingdom and Epcot.
Craig, what would you do?
Yeah, I'd do the same as Dussie, actually. I wouldn't go to Magic Kingdom on the 4th, because you just get squashed and it would take you 3 hours to get out there. Because you can't say I'm going to leave early. The whole point is to see it all. So.
Yourself, Adam, do the same?
Yeah, Magic Kingdom 3rd for me and Epcot 4th.
Definitely. Okay, if you're doing that, then we're doing something different than Craig, yeah?
Yeah, fine.
We'll go play golf.
Yeah.
What, proper golf?
No, silly
golf. You can't play proper golf.
No.
Miniature anyway, golf. Craig.
World of Disney sale for DVC members and pass holders on the 24th of July between 6:30 and 9 a.m. Annual and season pass holders and DVC members will be able to enter the World of Disney in Downtown Disney to receive exclusive discounts on merchandise. Now, as well as your pass or a membership card, you'll also need to provide a government-issued photo ID to enter. Discounts are up to 50% on select merchandise, along with door busters and surprise markdowns. I thought that meant you could kind of get those door ram things that the police use with Disney Mickey Mouses on.
But that'd be cool.
You can get in because you've got one of these. The first 1,000 through the door will also receive a free gift.
Keyring.
Nice. There we go. They did this a little while back, didn't they? I think, wasn't it just for annual pass holders last time?
Yes, it was. So they've. This is really cool.
Extended it for DVC members, which is cool. 24th of July as well, mid of the season. So should be a nice little treat for some people if you go down there. Right. Okay, let's head into the parks then. Let's go to Magic Kingdom to start off with. I want to give you a very, very quick update on what's happening with the Fantasyland expansion. Both Skuttle's Landing and Ariel's Grotto have now been completely removed, and some trees in the area have also been cleared, and groundwork is well underway. They seem to be, from some aerial photos that have been released recently, they seem to be well underway with all of clearing the pathways and things like that, and things are certainly going to be going upwards fairly soon with some construction, I would think, beginning within the next couple of months. But Fantasyland is moving on along very, very well. Something else to add as well onto that, Disney this week have what they call pulled a permit. Well, when I first read this, I thought, what, they've got rid of it? Pulling a permit means filing a permit for $15.4 million for the Little Mermaid attraction. So they've already filed this permit. So that must mean that there's some work going to be beginning on that soon. Also, there's another file that a permit's been filed for using or moving existing lighting as well. So things seem to be moving on extremely nicely there too.
Woohoo!
It's not the end of the segment yet. Don't do that yet. No. When I'm editing, I'm going to hear that and go cut.
Okay.
Sorry.
It's all right.
Oh.
Go on then, what you got?
You didn't say, and now Juz.
And now Juzzy Bear.
Thank you. You're the host, you're meant to sort of point us in the right direction. Otherwise, it looks like you've written the news and put our names next to things.
Who would think that I would do that?
We're more spontaneous than that. What shall I just talk about now?
I know. What did you talk about the TTA?
I was going to say that.
There you go.
I talked about the TTA. There have been rumours circulating that TTA and Tomorrowland may be getting its old novation back. This past weekend, people have already reported hearing the famous paging Mr. Morrow, Mr. Harold Morrow, near the Space Mountain again.
Paging Mr. Morrow, Mr. Tom Morrow. Please contact Mr. Johnson in the control tower to confirm your flight to the moon.
Could this be a minor change that the Imagineers have brought back because of Lou complaining so much, or the start's return to the old? Do you know what? The paging Mr. Tomorrow has been moaned about on every single forum everywhere.
Yes.
I don't know. I just can't believe that such an outpouring of disgust after this came back up that it was missing something, isn't it? Shows what funny things that Disney enthusiasts keep close to their heart.
Completely, yeah. The Star Tunnel music hasn't come back inside Space Mountain, but this certainly has. And from what I understand, the version of it that's come back is not the old version, but the version that came before that.
Ooh.
I don't know what that means.
I'm saying ooh as if it's something amazing. Ooh.
Ooh.
It's probably one that Michael Jackson did and they decided to bring it back.
I think, yeah, no. It's nice to see that they've started to bring those little bits back, though, because people have complained about some of the nostalgic things. It's Mr. Morrow, call it paging Mr. Tom Morrow, and he said, can you please contact Mr. Johnson? And Mr. Johnson was one of the characters from, if I remember right, Mission to Mars.
That's right, yes.
I think he was from Mission to Mars, if I'm right. So it had that nostalgic element to it, and that sort of completely disappeared. And it was a real shame to see that go. So it's nice to have that back.
I still prefer Harold Morrow.
What do you think, Craig?
I like that little bit. It's kind of a quirky bit. Everybody remembers it. It's nice to have it back. But
Yeah. Sometimes
I think they've got to be a little bit Fabio Disney, and they've changed it, and they have to stick with what they've changed, and people have to lump it, keep moving forward and all that. Walter Cronkite will be next. He'll be back on Spaceship.
I agree with keep moving forward. Completely, but also I think, you know, there's those moments of nostalgia that need to be kept in the park, and it's good to see that Imagineers are removing stuff and then saying, oh, hang on, yeah, maybe, but you know, a lot of people have said about this, maybe we do need to bring this back, and it's not difficult for them to do that, and they've done it, and you know, it's already been talked about through the Disney community, which is great. Right, so I've been complained at for not leading you in the direction, Craig, let's head over to Epcot.
Okay, ready? Set your alarms. Epcot Food and Wine Festival special events. Reservations will open on July the 20th. If you don't want to miss the celebrated Party for the Senses Grand Food and Wine Tasting event, or if you can't wait to attend the debut of the First Bites opening reception, then set your alarms for 7 a.m. on July 20 American time, because that's when the phone lines open to call Disney reservation specialists and book these and other events scheduled for the 15th annual International Craig Eats Himself Around Epcot Festival, which presents delicious discoveries October the 1st to November the 14th at Walt Disney World Resort. Now, fans of the festival's special programs and events can choose from among 12 categories of special wine and culinary events, including scheduled during the festival's 6 weeks. Now, for this year, they have, on September the 30th, the First Bites Opening Reception Festival Preview, Disney's Dessert Discovery and Taste, Shake and Indulge, like the French Grand Mariner tasting experience, and returning events are favourites like Celebrating Family and Friends in the Kitchen, Epcot Wine Schools, Mexico Tequila Tasting, and Food and Wine Pairings. It's funny, the only one I knew about was the wine schools. I didn't know about any of the other ones that they did. So they're not very well publicised, in my view.
I think they quite often come in the sort of the guide, don't they, for all the different bits and pieces. The 3D Disney Dessert Discovery is new for this year. I know that much. The Party with the Senses I knew about. I think that happened. I can't remember how many times that happens. I think it may be once a week. But there's a lot of stuff in there that I don't know about as well.
Let's be honest, Craig's too busy eating to notice anything else going on around him.
Exactly. Dad, want to go on test track? No, we're not doing that, lads. There's some stuff to get over here.
Craig's gone into a food haze. It doesn't matter. That's all it is. Whatever smells good is where he goes next.
Exactly.
It's just a shame. It's really the wrong time of year for me. I'm absolutely desperate to get out there for the Food and Wine Festival, and I'd love to go, but, you know, maybe in the future. Hopefully one day I'll make it out there and I'll eat Epcot dry, which would be great. Right, Hollywood Studios then. Star Tours, the adventure continues. There was a recent announcement over in Disneyland for the What's New, What's Next promotions that they've been doing to announce a little bit more to do with Star Tours, but also some new information has come to light that Disney may well have updated the Star Tours attraction by May 2011 for the next Star Wars weekend. There was no specific date, we just knew it was coming 2011, but it seems on the refurb page on the Walt Disney World website, and one of the sidebars, it's saying that it's coming May 2011, which could possibly mean that it will be open for those Star Wars weekends. It's not completely confirmed, although it is on the website. Disney have not completely announced it, but the Disney press release does read the following. While it may not open until fall of 2011, a few exciting elements of the reimagined Star Tours were announced. So the enhanced attraction, which will feature multiple destinations, takes place between the two Star Wars trilogies, which will enable Imagineers to utilize characters from both sets of films. Now, while the planet of Tatooine was unveiled as a destination at last year's D23 Expo, there will also be others, including the urban environments of Coruscant, which will be used as well. There will be several points during each journey where the audience will be able to change where the story is going. It will be happening, of course, in 3D, but from what we understand, you will be able to ride this attraction and it won't be the same twice. That's all we know. But it means that this is going to give this ride real rewrideability. It's added the 3D element to it. It's still going to be using the simulation technology. It just sounds like it's going to be a fantastic attraction.
It does, doesn't it? I really like the sound of this at the moment. I liked it before. Well, I liked the Q&A before, but this sounds like it's actually going to be an interesting ride at the end of it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, hopefully, it's, you know, this is going to add loads more to it, because they obviously, when they first made the first one, it's just the first three movies, and they had very just those to use, whereas now they've got this whole world of another three as well, so it'd be good.
Defo.
Right,
let's head over to I was gonna say the joke is lost on you, but it's like Disney's bought Ronco, which does all remember, you know, when you used to have those old it used to do with a horse racing game that you played a record, and each time the record had a different ending, or the race had a different winner. And they're utilising the same technology now. It's something from the 70s that Disney brought back.
Yes, that's right. Well, why would I remember? Doesn't ring a bell with me. Crazy man.
I haven't got a clue. I have no idea what he's on about.
What's an LP?
If you have any idea what Craig's on about, actually, if you ever have any idea what Craig's on about, please email us.
Let me know. A Craig decipher tool is what you require.
Right, let's head over to Animal Kingdom then. Jez, what you got for us?
Taste of Africa's coming to Animal Kingdom. The rumours, things that go on in Adam's head, he makes up, about a new offering coming to Disney Animal Kingdom this summer called Taste of Africa. It will possibly begin around July, featuring music, food, shopping and live entertainment. There's also expected to be a mini parade as part of the plans for this new experience. There's no official information released yet, because Adam's made it up in his head, and as always, things are subject to change. Do you know, I often wonder whether rumours are put out by Disney to find out what the Disney community then say about it, to say, this everyone seems like thinks it's a good idea, therefore we do it.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, and people put them up on the forums and all those bits and pieces, and then suddenly, you know, things appear that Disney are definitely going to do it. And it worked perfectly. What with the World Cup being in South Africa this year, it would be a perfect opportunity for them to promote Africa a little bit more, with people, not people having the interest in that particular area, so to speak, but with obviously people being more aware of it. It's a perfect opportunity for Disney to do it. And do you know what? Just appeared online today, and I've just found it. It is officially going to start on the 9th of July, and it's going to run through to the 24th of July. So 9th until the 24th of July nightly. Events going to be beginning immediately after Mickey's Jamming Jungle Parade, and it's going to include music and dance, outdoor vendors, performance featuring musical group Waslu, beer and wine tasting at Tamu Tamu Courtyard, authentic merchandise options, and an animal education experience.
I'd love to do that. I really would.
But it's such a short period of time. You thought they'd probably try and run it throughout the whole of the summer, do you not think?
Probably a tester, isn't it, and then to see how it goes. But I think that fits in perfectly. I think they could. I think you're right. I think they could have this continually all the time.
I won't get to see that then. Okay, before we head over to Disneyland Paris, there's one more piece of news that broke today to do with the Golden Oak Luxury Residential Resort Community coming to Walt Disney World. Now, think of this as Celebration Mark II, but on a much, much grander scale. Disney are going to be opening these one-of-a-kind luxury residential resorts that the Disney Imagineers have helped to design, and they are going to be released to start off with this year and then throughout. Now, these houses are not cheap, okay? You're going to just go, what? You're joking.
You're joking.
The house, yeah, there you go. Single-family custom homes will be priced between approximately $1.5 and $8 million.
Right, so I'll get a couple of them. Yeah, what else?
Yeah, a couple of them. With fewer than 30 home sites available for sale this year, these are going to be absolutely stunning. And looking at the residential elements to it, they do look stunning indeed. There are three types of places. There's the Carrollwood, which is going to have 17 custom sites, which are going to accommodate these massive family estates. If you choose these, especially the Carrollwood Reserve section, you're going to get serene natural golf courses and water views. But the reserve is limited to 8 premium custom home sites. They're all going to have approximately 3/4 acre for each one as well. You've got Silverbrook, which again is going to be a natural looking area, approximately 1/2 acre for those 19 homes. And then the Kimball Trace, which is these Tuscan inspired village courtyard homes. Interestingly, the two of them I can place, Carrollwood Pacific, I can place with Walt Disney and the train that he had at the time. Kimball Trace, I would guess, comes from Ward Kimball. Silverbrook, I'm struggling to find out what the link is there, but no doubt it will all become very, very clear. So these are starting to appear. They are very, very expensive. But not only do you get these homes, which you can actually live in, okay? These are on Disney property themselves. You can actually live in them full time. They're not even timeshares. They're outright ownership. You are going to get, as part of your package, a part of your own home ownership, private VIP transportation, a suite of in-park benefits, access to selected special event tickets, and community-hosted activities throughout the year. The concierge at Golden Oak is going to include move-in services, private and travel transportation, Disney parks, special event tickets, it says, golf tee times, dinner reservations, private VIP tours, at-home dinners and parties, holiday home decorating, grocery shopping and errands, pre-arrival and post-departure home maintenance services if you're not living there. There's going to be a summer house, which is this proposed clubhouse. It's going to have fine dining, spacious verandas, state-of-the-art fitness facilities, yoga studios, and culinary adventures, which are going to include guest chefs and wine tastings. There's also, at the Four Seasons Resort, that's going to be there nearby, the golf course, restaurants, private event facilities, spa, and other services. So this place sounds like it is going to be truly amazing, if not truly expensive.
I'm so sad I'm poor.
Same here.
But who's going to be able to afford these sort of places, seriously? You know, what sort
There's
of people?
Loads
Tiger
of
Woods, the Beckhams, yeah. Jonathan Ross, anyone else?
Everyone who's rich who wants
complete security. Jello, wants that. Yeah. Yeah, they're all going to have one, and we're going to have nothing.
Yeah.
Like getting invited.
Okay. But it does sound amazing. It's right up by the Magic Kingdom as well. If you think where the Magic Kingdom is, you know you've got sort of an entire loop road that goes around the entire Magic Kingdom. Well, you've got Bay Lake to the left, to the right, sorry. And just below that is where this new Golden Oak Resort is going to be. So it truly is in the centre of Walt Disney World.
Doesn't it sound a bit like a retirement complex, though? The Golden Oak.
Golden Oak. The reason it's called Golden Oak is because of the Golden Oak Ranch farm.
Yeah,
so that's the reason they called what they have. But I wonder whether this is a little bit retirement home for the rich, in a way. But looking at some of the photos, or well, they're really artist renderings at the minute. This does look stunning.
Put them on the forum? So I haven't seen anything.
I will stick them up there. Please. It's disneygoldenoak.disney.go.com. If you go there, it will show you. It will have all the things on there. But it does look truly stunning. And, you know, if I had the money, I'd snap one of these up. But
They should raffle one off for a normal common person like us.
Yeah, like I'm going to do with my house. Yeah.
We'd bring the estate down. They wouldn't let us.
Okay. That's true. No, that does look very nice.
But, you know, it does sound amazing.
So do they get free tickets then for the parks?
I don't know if they get free tickets as such, but I would guess they get some sort of discount in some way, you know. Interestingly, they're going to be part of Orange County, because one of the difficulties they've had with doing this sort of thing before is if they're classed as living on Walt Disney World property, they then become almost a government for Walt Disney World, and they begin to be able to have a say, almost like they're a board of directors for Walt Disney World. So it'd be interesting to see what they're putting in the contract here to stop them from being able to be sort of almost the board members or dictatorship for Walt Disney World.
I don't think that this isn't what Walt wanted. You know, he had a vision for a town, a community for everyone who works,
yeah.
And that kind of this is just exclusive money grabbing, just for the very, very top end of the riches that you would never be able to see.
Completely.
And you know, they probably came closer with Celebration, which they then palmed off really quickly when things started to go a bit badly for them. I just think this isn't what Walt envisioned, and I think they're trying to wrap it up a bit that way.
Yeah, I completely agree. But, you know, you look at the cost of these things, you look at how much they're going to be, 1.5 to 8 million. You wonder whether people are actually going to snap these up to live in, or whether people are going to snap these up to rent out. Because, you know, that there's no reason why they couldn't do it. There's a possibility of rentals, I suppose. One of the things they have said is short-term rentals will not be allowed.
Yeah, you'd have to be 6 months.
But longer-term rentals greater than 6 months will be permitted.
This is it, but let's be honest, what would make me even more sick is the fact that people could afford to buy these as second homes. I wouldn't mind if someone bought it as a home to live in, but these people who buy it and then go down there for 3 months every year and can afford to do that.
Definitely, yeah. The different styles of homes, for those who are interested, who might have far too much money, what I want to know is why you're listening to this podcast and not buying me a house.
The butler's listening to it, and he just passes the information on. Yeah.
You've got Tuscan, Spanish Revival, Venetian, Italianate, Dutch Colonial, and Island Colonial.
I like the colonial ones. Style. The ones I've seen with the columns outside, they look the business.
Yeah, the Dutch Colonial would be quite nice. They're very much Liberty Square style.
Yeah.
Which would be cool. But I don't know why we're talking about it, because quite frankly, we're never going to be able to afford it.
I'm not leaving Celebration. My heart stays there no matter what Disney does. So Celebration still for me.
And also, you can buy, I don't know, 10 Celebration houses for the price of one inside Golden Oak.
Hell yeah.
But if anybody would love us to come and do a live podcast from your home in Golden Oak, we'd be more than welcome to come and do that.
Yeah, well, I might be going to have a look at it in July. So Erica has
You're going to go and have a look?
They won't let you anywhere near that.
Erica Muller, our good friend from the other show.
Oh, yeah.
Has been invited to go in and have a look, and she's asked if we would like to go along.
That's right, she has.
And I replied yes, and she's going to try and set it up. So I will take lots of pictures and send them to Juz, because he's the only one that cares.
Can I just say, Adam, the fact that he didn't let you have time to reply when you were there as well. He just shot in and goes, I'm here earlier.
I did put the whole period that I was there.
Oh yeah.
Adam won't have time. He won't fit it on his spreadsheet.
Oh, do you know what? If I could come and have a look at this, I'd say we're there without a shadow of a doubt.
There we go.
You know what this is? This is like DVC for posh people. This is Craig doing what you do for DVC. You go, free ice cream at the end.
Yeah.
I'll come around and have a look and have a listen. Yeah, no problem. This is what Craig's doing for Golden Oak. He's just going there to have a look around.
There you go. There's Keith, your Mercedes, sir. Thank you for coming there to spend some time.
He's going to get ice cream with gold leaf on top at this one. I tell you, it's going to be... You know, here we go, sir. Here's a free £3,000 watch for coming looking around. Maybe this will persuade you. Anyway, let's head over to, we'll jump on a plane, fly ourselves over to Paris and head over to Disneyland Paris, where we have a couple of bits of news. And first off, we're going to Craig.
Yeah, I haven't had my dinner this evening, and this is the second bit that you give me, and it's food. In the Disneyland park, there are some new food offerings in the park. Now, as reported on a previous episode of the show, the Pizza Planet restaurant in Disney in Discoveryland has teamed up with Pizza Hut and gone from a counter service location into an all-you-can-eat buffet. Guests pay as you enter the counter area before moving on to the seating section. They can return to the counter for extra helpings. The sad news about this is that there is no longer a pizza burger.
No!
Yeah, I am really sad about this.
I love the pizza burger.
Actually, all you can eat pizza burger.
for our American listeners, I think we need to actually explain what the pizza burger was.
They should have it in America. This is awesome.
Yeah, go on. Juz, you explain what the pizza burger was.
It's two pizzas. Thingamajig pizzas. Cheese and tomato was a posh name for it.
Margarita.
And a burger in between. So they're the baps for the burger. And it is amazing.
They are truly the most gross looking but most satisfying things in the world. In fact, we tried to look for these, didn't we, when we went over in December, and we desperately tried to find, it was March last year, wasn't it? We desperately tried to find them, and Buzz Lightyear's Pizza Planet was closed, and we just could not find pizza burgers anywhere.
And then we had a burger made of goose bits.
Yeah, we had some burger with foie gras that we thought was scrambled egg, yeah. But these pizza burgers are amazing. Well, they were amazing. Mm. It literally was two pieces with a burger inside, and it was just great, but they've gone.
I don't know why, because to be honest, it was stuck away there. And I've always thought this pizza burger was one of the greatest foods ever invented. And I can't believe our American friends have never picked up on it. It's pizza and burger in one.
And if anybody from McDonald's is listening, you should so make this.
Yes. I'll buy it.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry, Craig.
That's all right. I'd want a triple one, though, with like three bits of pizza and then two burgers in between. Like a Big Mac. Big Burger Mac, Pizza Mac. Also, if you head over to Adventureland, to the Café de la Bousse, it has now reopened after a lengthy rehab. Despite the location being sponsored by Dole, it offers a very unique fast food item, a hot dog sandwich with two sausages and fries. The unique part about it, the two sausages are placed in the bun, as you would normally expect, with the fries stuffed around them. What's unique about that?
It should be two sausages between two pizzas.
No, what's unique about it? What's unique about it is they put the chips in the bun and that's they put normal. The sausage in the bun as well.
That's giving you less chips than you would normally have.
Well, we do that here. That's what we do in our house.
So I think that's quite cool. That'd be cool. It's just one meal then, isn't it? You don't have to worry about chips.
Then you put a pizza on the top and a pizza on the bottom.
Yeah, and then you put...
And then the chips, then the hot dog, and then the burger.
Yeah, stack it Brilliant. Up, does he?
Yeah.
Oh, do you know what? We've got this sorted. We should be doing the catering, the food and beverage managers over at Disneyland Paris.
We could call it Le Cardiac Arrest.
Oh, there's still more. The cart in Fantasyland is themed to Pinocchio Stromboli, has been selling pretzels for years, but it now offers pretzels with ham and cheese.
Rubbish.
And finally, Main Street Ice Cream offers a selection of Ben & Jerry's ice cream and is located in front of Plaza Gardens in the former outdoor seating area.
It became a tradition for me to go to Stromboli's and buy a pretzel. I've done it every trip, really, with Disneyland Paris. What's this ham and cheese rubbish? Get rid of that. It's just have standard, normal, ordinary pretzels. That's all good.
I like ham and cheese pretzels.
Do you?
Yeah. I like
now, am I right in thinking that these are what they used to sell in Skittles Landing?
No, not the same ones, the fresher ones.
Yeah, obviously they didn't send them over.
Froze them and sent them over.
We've closed it, we've got a few of these left, send them to Paris, they'll have them there, they'll eat anything. I'm sure they used to do ham and cheese pretzels at Skittles Landing.
Everyone does ham and cheese pretzels.
Oh, no, I've not seen ham cheese. I've seen the cream cheese ones, obviously, but not ham and cheese.
Could have been cream cheese ones they did in Scotland. Landing. Right, one more piece of news. Final piece of news from me to do with Toy Story Playland and a bit of an update for you. The land is progressing well, with the construction still continuing. Things are really now going upwards. The RC Racer is definitely near to completion. They've been testing that. You've got a lot of the other bits of theming still coming in. A lot of the construction now is turning to other bits of theming, some of the larger plants, because obviously you're supposed to feel like you're the size of the toy. They're beginning to do a lot of the construction work with the floor, the roads, all that sort of stuff as well. The Tinker Toys are going up. The blocks are all starting to go into place. But there is one really interesting addition that is beginning to happen sort of around the outside of the expansion. And that is what appears to be a cobblestone road that is running right around the edge, almost as if this road is going to be able to take you around the outside of Toy Story Playland to an area just behind it. Now, cobblestone rides, Cobblestone Road, sorry. If you've watched Ratatouille, as we know Juz hasn't, you will see that some of the roads in there are cobblestoned and almost like they're going to be a little bit of a Parisian feel. There's also wrought iron railings that go along each side, and this really does look like something out of Ratatouille. And I just wonder whether or not this could be a future expansion or road for a future expansion to go out to Ratatouille, and whether the moment that they finish building Toy Story Playland and it opens, that they could indeed be announcing that Ratatouille expansion that's going to be going on behind.
What, Ratland?
Yeah.
Or Verminland, and have squirrels from up there as well.
Ratland.
Like Matterland, but for rats.
What is it? What do you think it is, Craig, about Disneyland Paris and keeping these expansions quiet and not really announcing them properly until they're nearly complete?
I don't think that they have a decent press office there. I think that's all it's got to be. They just haven't got somebody that gives a monkeys. That's all it can be. Because in America, they, you know, Fantasyland was shouted from the rooftops, and rightly so. I mean, I know it's a lot bigger. But, you know, this has just been, just get on with it and just do it. It's not the French way. I just think they haven't got very good press people over there, and they're just not...
I've got to admit, actually, that when you look at the sort of press websites for both Disneyland Paris and Walt Disney World is updated far more than Disneyland Paris is.
There's very little.
A lot of stuff that comes out for Disneyland Paris is often facts, like fact press releases to do with it's Christmas and these are the amount of lights and this is this, or it's to do with French superstars that have visited the parks and things like that. There's a lot less in there about what's happening with the parks, and I think you're dead right. I think there is less of a presence from the press office in Disneyland Paris than there is in Walt Disney World.
Yeah, I think what makes it worse is the fact that you don't need a press office in Walt Disney World because you have about 40 podcasts every week telling you what's happening.
Yeah,
Disneyland Paris really have, there's probably about three, you know, there's ourselves and a couple of new ones that have popped up now, you know, and they can't afford not to do this. In fact, what they should be doing is engaging heavier with the podcasts and engaging themselves to push themselves forward, because they need to do this. I mean, let's be honest, their advert on television is one of the worst adverts I've seen. It basically goes, the next generation coming, and you go, if you're not a Disney person, you sit there and go, well, what the hell's that?
Very true, and I've got somebody at work who is going out to Disneyland Paris for the summer holiday, and they turn around to me, well, there's this new generation thing going on, what's that all about? And I had to explain it to them all. I don't think they've necessarily explained as well as to what it's all about.
To be fair, we struggled, didn't we, to kind of get to terms with it.
Yeah.
We're experts.
But the advert should sit there and perhaps show all the different rides, all the new up-and-coming rides. You know, they could do that, you know, a shot of inside Pirates, etc. So people sit there and go, wow, look at these different rides. It's sort of inside Buzz Lightyear. So you're getting people who don't understand it going, wow, this is amazing. And I think, yeah. I agree totally with Craig, their press office is dreadful. And, you know, they need to expand that and produce a better one, even if it's just British-orientated, German-orientated, French-orientated.
And one of the interesting things about this new generation festival, the way they've marketed it, is that it's almost like they're saying, look, we need to just market this because the rest of the park's not that great. And they don't mention Pirates. They don't mention, you know, Big Thunder or Phantom Manor. None of those things are mentioned whatsoever. And they concentrate on a lot of the newer stuff rather than some of the older stuff. So say again, this lady from work's never been before.
If they saw an advert, just of little clips of each ride, and we now have those rides are amazing, Crush, etc. And you did a 30-second with, like, really cool background music. That would make everyone want to go, because they go, look at this. This is amazing. Not a load of people parachuting who haven't got a clue what the hell they're talking about.
Mm.
Yeah. Oh, let's go and take it over. We could do it.
Yeah,
probably,
let's do it.
Before the French football team get there and get jobs there. Come on.
The French football team have got a new coach, though.
Oh, you used this yesterday. Do we have to do
it? It's a 49-seater, and it's picked him up from Charles de Gaulle Airport this morning. it's awful. That's all of our French listeners gone. They probably went ages ago with Craig and his comments, so it's all fine. Right, there we go. That's our news then. Thank you, and Juz.
Woohoo!
That was very short and sweet, wasn't it?
Almost like a rush. I was reading what Craig had been chundering about, and you caught me off guard. I should have just gone, woohoo!
Right, thank you.
The future's arrived, nobody can doubt. The future is whatever it thinks about. It's better for you and it's better for me. It's better than what everybody thought it would be.
The future has arrived today.
Flexible, simple, valued, secure, honest, and trusted. They are some of the words that people think of when they book their Orlando holiday. And they are exactly the same words that people associate with CompleteOrlando.co.uk. With staff available 7 days a week, there are no better people to use. Contact the Orlando experts on 0800-294-8844 or visit www.CompleteOrlando.co.uk.
We started in Fantasyland and we went through all the ride shows and attractions, and we're going to continue in Fantasyland, where we're going to go to our favourite side, which is that of food and shopping. There's not a huge amount in Fantasyland to do with food and shopping, especially what with Scuttle's Landing closing recently. So we're just going to go through what is on offer and the stuff that you can buy in all of those different places. So let's start off then with what is really the main place to eat in Fantasyland. It is, I think, Craig's children's favourite place to go and eat, and that is Pinocchio's Village House. So, Craig, go on, give us some your opinion on Pinocchio's Village House, because it's your favourite place to go and eat.
It's not my favourite. It's their favourite. I don't know why it is their favourite. I should go and wake them up and find out. Maybe it's the charm of it being Pinocchio, and it looks quite nice and where it is located and everything, and maybe the fact that they sell pizza. Those two things combined are probably, you know, what they like. They do quite like Pico Bills now, so I think that's where we're going to go. I mean, it's fine. It's not brilliant. The pizzas are kind of okay. They're nothing special. They're not a pizza like you'd imagine you get in Italy. Yeah, it's in quite a nice location, I suppose. It's quite big. You always manage to get a seat in there, and it's quite cool and dark. But, you know, it's pizzas, it's chicken nuggets. I've never had the sub sandwich that they do. I know that looks quite nice. I've just grabbed a pizza because what the kids have had. And they do always have a tendency to do apple sauce with the kids' meals, which my kids hate. I don't know if you ever like them, Jazz, or if Harry likes them. But, I mean, that just goes in the bin. It's average. It's edible. It's fine. And you know, it's close to things if you're around there. But I certainly wouldn't make a beeline for it.
Jazz, have you eaten in here before?
Sorry, someone's watch going off there.
Yeah, it's just telling us that it is 9 p.m.
Yeah. It's always annoyed me to never...
I'm James Corden, and this is World Cup Live. Sorry.
That's a 9:30. What are you on about? Sorry, Juz.
I don't know if I bother. He just cut me off.
Just ruined it, hasn't it? Just ruined it.
Yeah, my whole... What was my motivation for this again? The thing which annoyed me is the fact that they can't even spell house. And I've pointed it out to them several times, and they've never changed it. So that's really annoying me to show there's no cast members to pay attention. What I have eaten here, and I've used the toilets here quite often, is the fact that I'm just thinking I could get two individual pizzas plus chicken nuggets and put the chicken nuggets in between the pizzas. But it's going to cost me a few quid to do that, so I don't know. Yeah, I've eaten it. It's okay. Full of kids and stuff. As you know, Fantasyland is probably not one of my favourite areas because of the little tiny people everywhere. But no, it's okay. Food's okay. I think, as Craig says, it's edible food, and they probably not one of the best fooderies, and they know they can get away with it because they've got you there, and you're not going anywhere else.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. The food here then, so let's just go through some of the things you get. You've got a meatball sub sandwich at $8.19. Pizza combo meals, which is sort of pizzas and salad. You get cheese or pepperoni. Individual pizzas, chicken nuggets, which come in six. Caesar salad with chicken and a Mediterranean salad as well. Your normal selection of beverages and your salads and fries as sides as well. They do a strawberry yogurt, a chocolate and strawberry cheesecake. Strawberry cheesecake is good there. I'll give them that. And also you've got your kids' picks menu, which is your usual stuff with your carrot sticks, grapes, choices of milk, bottled water and apple juice. You've got peanut butter and jelly sandwich, macaroni and cheese pizza. And again, the famous apple sauce is indeed there if you want to substitute that as part of your meal as well. This is sort of one of those places that we have eaten in, but it's not a place that I would choose to stop at, just purely for the fact that it's not too far from... Pecos Bills. Well, I suppose it's a bit of a walk, but you know, I'd much rather walk around to Pecos Bills anyway. One of the things, like you say, okay, house is spelt wrong, but I'm pretty certain that Pinocchio originates from an Italian fairy tale, and I'm pretty sure house isn't that a German word.
I think Pinocchio was German. I thought it was written by German authors.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think Pinocchio's Czechoslovakian, isn't he? But whatever.
I've got a bit, I've got a tip I've just thought of.
Go on.
If you've never been to Walt Disney World before, and you're coming from the UK or Europe, and you have children, I suggest you start getting your children used to peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, which is jam, and macaroni and cheese, and all sorts. If you start 6 months in advance, then your children will be able to eat quite normally when they go across to Walt Disney World.
Because they just sit through a lot of it about. That's very, very
kids'
true.
Meals is always peanut butter and jelly. Obviously, Americans have no allergic reactions to peanuts. And mac and cheese, although on the flip side of it, I adore mac and cheese. I hate to say, and this is probably, do you not find yourself at the kids' section sometimes?
Yeah.
Pushing little ones out of the way because it looks better.
I do like a chicken nugget, to be fair. With the barbecue sauce they do, the little packet, oh, they are lovely. Yeah,
it is a quite nice little place to sit and eat. One of the great things about this is it's designed to look like there's a moment in the film where they sort of fly over the building and you've got the sort of water, not the fountain in the courtyard. And apparently it used to be that when you were on the Skyway, you would pass by Pinocchio's Village House and it would give you that same sort of feeling or the same look as it was in the film. But obviously that doesn't really happen anymore because they've got rid of the Skyway. One of the great things about this place is it opens late, stays open late for drinks, not always for food. But what we've done before now is we've sat out in the courtyard of the Village House and we've sat and had a drink and watched the fireworks for wishes from that particular point as well. It gives you a completely different view of the fireworks from that, sitting in that courtyard just there and enjoying a drink while you're watching the fireworks.
You're right, it was Italian, and I believe house is an Italian word as well.
Oh, is it? There we go. So we've learned something new. Every day is indeed a school day.
Carlo Collodi was the author.
That's his name. I thought it was Italian. It's a good place to watch Wishes. Well, out of five, what are you giving it, Craig?
The kids like it. I would give it 3.5.
3.5. Juz?
I'm going to give it 2, but I'm not being funny because if you've got kids and everything, it's not the best food in the world, but it is nice and handy and it's edible. So, 2.
Okay. I'm going to give it a 3, I think. I'm probably being a bit generous with that as well. Right, let's head over to the Friar's Nook then. Recently changed its name. This is right next to Mrs. Potts's cupboard. As you walk over towards sort of Mad Hatter's Tea Party and that sort of direction, they're on your right-hand side if you're heading sort of towards Tomorrowland. The Friar's Nook is things like hot dogs, Caesar salads, French fries, apple and caramel dippers. I haven't tried them. I don't know what they are. Carrot cake, and then you've got your normal soft drinks, your waters, you've got orange milk, coffee, tea, all that sort of stuff there. Has anybody ever eaten at Friar's Nook?
To be honest, yes, because it's the carrot cake. We had carrot cake once. And I just went through the menu you got there and it was there, so I thought it's the only place I can think of that we actually had carrot cake there, and I can't see it on one of the other menus. So, yeah, carrot cake. Only because they make really good carrot cake at Walt Disney World.
Anybody had apple and caramel dippers?
No.
No, I've not either.
What are they?
I don't know. I don't know. I think I need to investigate that in August. I shall find out and I shall report back to the show.
Can we wait that long?
I don't know. Well, if somebody knows what they are before that, please do email us.
They're toffee apples.
Ooh. Oh, they could be. Yeah, it could be toffee.
Little toffee apples.
If that's a little toffee apple, I'll be really disappointed.
You're going to be really disappointed.
Yeah, I probably am going to be really disappointed. You're right. But they, you know, the hot dogs and fries really and the Caesar salad are their main meals you can get there. Caesar salad, I think, is pretty similar to what you can get over at the Village House as well. It is exactly the same price as the Village House. I'm guessing it's exactly the same item. But what would you judge? I've not eaten here, so I can't really give it anything at all. What are you giving it out of 5?
I enjoyed the carrot cake, but it was just because we were there. So once again, 2.
Craig, you eating here?
I haven't, no.
Okay, well, right next door is Mrs. Potts's cupboard. This has recently had a makeover as well, ready for the Fantasyland expansion. This does a lot of your desserts and your drinks. They do milkshakes there. They do floats, chocolate, vanilla, and swirl, which they do there with Coke, Diet Coke, Sprite, or root beer as you float. They do strawberry shortcake sundaes, fudge brownie sundaes, soft serve cones, all those sort of things. So it's almost like you go to Friar Nook's for your main course, and then you nip over to Mrs. Potts's cupboard for your dessert. I've had milkshakes and floats from here. They were pretty good, to be honest. I really enjoyed those. Anybody else eating here?
Oh, just the floats. The floats were brilliant.
The floats are good.
Yeah.
Craig?
Floats and milkshakes for us, yeah.
I'm going to give this a 3. What are you going for, Craig?
I'm going to give it a 3 because what they don't do there, which I do like, is when they do the swirls, but they use around in Frontierland, they've got the place where they do it with the orange, so you can get orange and vanilla swirl. They don't do that here. You can only have it with ice cream.
They do it to lower aisle, don't they?
But you get the pineapple one, so it's only going to get a 3 because they could do that quite easily and that'd be yummy.
Okay, just...
I'm going to give it a 3 because of its location and the fact it sells floats, because Fantasyland is an incredibly hot place to be. And it's just a really handy location where you can just go, I need something to cool off, and a float's the right thing to cool off. So I just think it's placed perfectly for that cooling time, either as you're walking through or you just want to have a bit of a chill. So I'd give it a 3.
They're both opposite what was what used to be Pooh's playful spot, which was great because what you would be able to do is to go, you'd be able to take your kid into Pooh's playful spot, one parent leave there, you just cross the walkway to the other side, pick up your ice cream or whatever, and head back again. And it was a nice place to be able to go and get a quick ice cream before while the kids are enjoying playing in Pooh's playful spot. Right, what we got for shopping and souvenirs, we've got a few shops. We've got Pooh's Thoughtful Shop, which sells Pooh merchandise. It's sort of used as you exit the Many Adventures of Winnie Pooh, you go straight in there. It is full of a lot of poo. thank you. Silly humour. Full of a lot of stuff there for Winnie the Pooh. A lot of baby stuff as well. And one of the unique things about this shop is that if you smell really carefully, you can get that whiff of... You get a whiff of honey through the sort of the air conditioning system as well every now and again, which is quite cool. It's sort of a place you can't really miss, can you? Because you go through the shop as you leave the ride.
Yeah.
You don't come out smelling it. No, leave it. Sorry, go on.
It's a shop full of. I don't rate any of these shops greatly, so no.
Okay, well there we go then. Sir Mickey's, that's got your adult wear, your hats, your snow globes, your trinkets, you've got some penny presses in there as well. You've got Tinkerbell's Treasures, which used to be brilliant, but I think they've now got rid of it, which is the old drawer which you used to open in the morning to let Tinkerbell out. Have they still got that, or is it now gone? Do you know?
Don't know.
I'd have never been there early enough to do it.
If you're right, you used to be able to arrive really early and you used to be asked to be able to wake up Tinkerbell, and you used to be able to go in there and you used to be able to wake up Tinkerbell. And I can't remember whether they've shortened it, whether they've removed it since they've closed Tinkerbell's Treasures. Half of it is sort of that Tinkerbell bit. The other half is sort of your costumes and girls' clothing. I can't remember whether they've renamed that Seven Dwarfs Mine, whether that's a different shop altogether. But they've now got a dress behind the counter in that section of the shop, which is Sleeping Beauties, and it changes colour from pink to blue through lighting, which is really cool, a really cool effect. So you've got Seven Dwarfs Mine, which has, as I've said, costumes, clothing, sleepwear. And then you've got one, which I quite like this shop for what it is. It's Fantasy Fair, which is the exit to Mickey's Fuller Magic. And it's got loads of stuff in there. I really like the Donald on the roof with all the musical instruments around him. The idea is that the back half of Donald is in the theatre. The front half of Donald is coming out of the stall. Have you been into this one?
Oh, yeah. Like you could miss it.
I have lots, because I think I said when we were talking about Philomagic, it's probably one of the only places you can get lots of Donald stuff.
So, yes, it is, yeah.
So Kay likes his Donald, so it's quite cool in there. There is some really nice Donald bits and bobs in there if that's your character of choice.
Definitely. And also there's some Philomagic merchandise in there. There also seems to be a lot of other merchandise. I remember there being a lot of Cars stuff in there because we bought a couple of Cars bits while we were in there, and they have a lot of character-based stuff. So that is your Mickey's Philomagic stuff is the place to go and get your stuff from there. Guys, talk about short and sweet for dining and shopping in Fantasyland. There really is not a huge amount there. So that is everything we have for our dining and shopping in Fantasyland. And we're going to be moving on Tomorrowland ride shows and attractions on the next edition.
Are we nearly finished yet, Dad?
No, we're not nearly there yet. It's not.
But I very seldom follow it.
Now, Disney often have these quirky little surveys. Quite often when you're leaving the park, somebody stops you with a massive pad and says, right, could you just answer a few of these questions? And you answer some really bizarre questions and they say, thank you, and off you go. Well, they've started to do these surveys online now, and they're starting to use things like Facebook and Twitter and all sorts of stuff for you to respond on. And Facebook recently had some their Facebook friends of the Walt Disney World Resort ask them some questions or some things of advice for Disney's first-time travellers, so people who are going to Walt Disney World for the very first time. And they said to these people on Facebook, can you give us some responses as to what you think the 10 best tips are for those travelling for the first time to Walt Disney World? About 5,000 people responded. Suggestions such as relax, enjoy your trip, or make it a vacation. But there were 10 different main themes that really came out of them. The second most common suggestions were things like wear comfortable shoes or comfortable clothes. But here are the complete list. And what I want you guys to do, or what we're going to do, is quickly go through these. I want to see if you agree, or if there's things that you think should really go in their place instead of these things. So here we go then. There's some really bizarre ones, some ones that I find quite amusing. So number 10, 2.73% put this in 10th place, which is if you're a first-time traveller, you should make sure you bring money or cash with you.
Oh, as opposed to goats, which I made my first mistake with. Pain to pack.
I suppose they're saying this instead of taking your Visa or credit card.
Well, what happens if you have an emergency and you need your Visa or credit card?
Well, that's very true.
Tip.
It just seems a strange one to go on there because, you know, I will take cash with me, but I'll also have my card just in case I need it.
Also, you should really be taking traveller's checks. That way, if you're robbed or stolen, you can get your money back. Cash.
That is also very, very true.
Yeah. It's like saying when you leave home, remember to take your head with you.
How many times I've forgotten to do that? It's, oh.
Exactly, yeah.
But that was number 10. I don't know. It seems a really bizarre. I suppose we're saying, you know, first-time travellers, if you want to be really, really safe, bring money cash with you, I suppose. The other thing to do is to make sure you utilise, if you're staying on resort property, make sure you utilise your room key. Because what you can do, and what we do in the past, is we put a load of cash on our room key, and then we use it, and every day we get a statement and find out how much money's left on it, which is much easier.
Also, the traveller check people now, which is Amex's and etc., they do pre-top-up cards now, so you can actually top it up.
That's very true.
You're completely covered by their backup if you lose it, and it's a Visa card as well. So you're actually only spending the money you've got on it, but it's completely covered. It's the ideal alternative to cash.
So are we changing number 10 from bring money or cash to research the payment options for your trip to Walt Disney World?
Yeah.
Are you sure they haven't asked the Family Fortunes audience these questions?
Right. Okay.
Name a bird with a long neck.
Squirrel.
I love that. Naomi Campbell, that was the funniest one ever.
Next. Brilliant. Right, number 9 says, make a Magic Kingdom advice. Rides, parades, and fireworks. 4.04% said that to get some advice from Magic Kingdom to do with rides, parades, and fireworks.
What, eh?
I, another weird one, isn't it? Magic Kingdom advice. I don't get.
They're saying ask for it.
Possibly. It just says Magic Kingdom advice. It could be ask for it. It could be. I don't know what that means.
Maybe they're saying because it's busy, you know, the rides and the shows and the fireworks will get busy. Find out what times they are, maybe where they go and where to stand.
Yeah. Well, wouldn't that be easier to have actually written that and told them that?
Mention the word Magic Kingdom advice, possibly. I don't know. Number 8 then, so we'll leave that one behind. Number 8 is go to the parks early. 7.06% said to go to the parks early. Is this something you agree with?
I would say go to the parks early, come for a break, go back to the parks.
Yeah, completely. That's exactly what I was thinking when I read it, is the idea that that's fine if you're the sort of early bird who wants to get up early, to go, to have a break in the middle of the day, go back to your hotel, have a sleep, have a swim, you know, any of those things, and then go back in the evening. Because, you know, even for a seasoned veteran, it's very, very difficult to turn up a park at 9 a.m. and try and last all the way through till midnight. You know, you're going to have a break at some point rather than try and go commando for the whole day. For somebody who is used to it, then it's not necessarily so bad. But I think if it's definitely your first trip, you need to think about taking it just a little bit easier. Going first thing, having that break, and then coming back in the evening. Craig?
Yeah, I think it depends on you and your family. You know, if you've got two small kids or something, getting up early and getting out early sometimes isn't always possible. So no. I wouldn't. If you can get there early, great. If you can't, I wouldn't worry about it. Get there when you can, and you know, spend what time there you can, have a break or whatever, or go there later and have the evening there. I don't really think there's a special time to go. It all really depends on you and your circumstances.
Okay.
Don't forget, though, the majority of people they're asking are probably Americans that are probably only there for a short period of time, unlike us Brits that go for 2 weeks.
Very, very good
probably
point. Yes.
Want to get
very
the most point. Out of it, and by that would be getting there early.
Okay, right, there we go. Right, let's head into number 7. This is a controversial one. I'd be interested to hear what you say about this one. 7 on the list was 7.26% suggested that you stay on property.
Oh, that's handy from Disney's point of view, isn't it?
Yeah. Asking all the cast members that one as they leave them for work.
What do you think? Is there a distinct advantage as a first timer to staying on property?
No.
Well, there isn't. One is it's going to cost you an arm and a leg, and there's benefits of staying on property. Of course there is, with, you know, your transportation and your extra magic hours. The flip side of it, you know, stay on property if you can afford to stay on property. Stay off property if you can't and want to spend your money on some more bits and pieces. Simple as that. If you've got the money, do one. If you haven't, do the other.
Okay. I'm in two minds about this one. To be honest, I think the first time we went, we stayed off property with my parents, and it was a little bit harder getting used to the whole transportation system, what you did and where you went. It could be easy to stay on property for the fact that, you know, you've got the transportation system, you've got Disney cast members around you all of the time, you've got all that advice all of the time. So it could be easy to stay on property. You know, if you're on a budget, it's not necessarily going to happen. You're going to stay on property and do it that way. But that is an interesting... The thing is, though, these are, you know, people who... Disney haven't necessarily chosen. It's interesting that one's come out. Yes, they're Disney fans, and yes, they probably stay on site a lot of the time, but it's an interesting one that stay on property has definitely come out as one on to come out in the top 10.
Fixed.
Number 6 then, 7.98% people suggest that you bring water and sunscreen.
Yes.
Well, are they saying to the whole holiday? Because yes, you need to drink at some point. Or to the park. We've already said always freeze water if possible and take it in so it defrosts during the day. But yeah, that's common sense.
Yeah, definitely. It's a very common sense one. And a hat as well. Yeah, add that one onto it. But water, sunscreen, and a hat.
And a balaclava.
And Gatorade sachets.
Yes.
Gatorade sachets, yeah.
Go and listen to one of our previous shows.
When we did about surviving the heat, didn't we? Yeah. It was probably... last summer, actually. It was nearly a year ago. Wow. Bringing water, one of the things that we've always said, and I'll continue to say, is if you're able, you've got a car and you're able to make your way out to a supermarket, is to buy yourself some bottled water and then to be able to drink that water and then reuse the bottles or freeze the bottles. We've done that before. I use Gatorade and I freeze Gatorade, and that drink lasts me a lot of the day because it continues to thaw. Also, we've also talked about it being against your back as well if you take it in a bag. Yeah.
Or just have the kids take their, because they have them on the plane, their kind of drinks bottles they have for school. And we fill those up before we go to the park. And when they're empty, you go to the nice counter service and you ask for a cup of ice water and you pour it in there and throw a Gatorade sachet in. Yes. So you actually aren't walking around with water. And once you put Gatorade sachet in it, the kind of tap water tastes just like Gatorade. So you don't have that kind of fluoride taste.
The other little tip as well that we use, or we always use, is when we're at the airport, we always go to the nearest WH Smith's and buy one of those big sort of litre and a half bottles of like Volvic water with got a flip cap on it, and we will drink those on the plane, and then we've got an empty bottle to use when we're out there as well.
Depends now, because you only allowed so much fluid going on the plane, aren't you? 300 litres.
We always buy it after we go through security. So when the WH Smiths that are after security, so they're in the departure lounges, we will always buy a big bottle there, and then that we'll be able to take that away with us on holiday, and we've then got that to reuse in the parks. I think we did that last time.
Is that because America doesn't sell bottles of water?
Well, no, it's just fairly cheap. You've got a drink for the trip, and then you haven't got to worry too much about, you've got your empty bottle for when you get there as well. So and my bottle, Volvic bottles, lasted 3 weeks. I was able to use it for the whole 3 weeks of there, fill it with Gatorade every night and freeze it.
Just so you look posh with Volvic, isn't it?
Yeah.
And, of course, sunscreen. It's fairly obvious. I'm ignoring you. And as Craig also said, the hat as well. Right, number 5, then, is... read guidebooks and research, 9.23%. I think this is a great tip. You cannot go to Walt Disney World without doing a little bit of research or buying a guidebook. There's no way in a million years, even if it's just researching what time the parks are open, or researching when extra magic hours are, or researching when the fireworks or the parades are. I think it's really, really important that you have...
Any particular ones, Adam?
Yeah, any guidebooks would come to mind, Adam.
The Family Guide to Orlando is an extremely good book that you can get yourself. Also, things like the... I used to like the official Disney, the Birnbaum's official Disney guide.
Oh, forget there. Just plug your own, son.
No, it's plug my own. I used to like it because it had a lot of the photos, a lot of the information in it, but I've sort of gone off it more and more. The Unofficial Guide's a great book. The Passport is a fantastic book as well. You want me to plug the Minnie Mouse, don't you?
I like the Minnie Mouse if you've never been to Magic Kingdom before.
If you've never been to the Magic Kingdom before, Minnie Mouse isn't a guidebook in the sense that it tells you
it's better
the best
than a guidebook
for this. But what it does do is it gives you a lot of information about the parks when you're there. So that is, you know, a book in that sense.
Can I just say the amount of people I know who go there who never get any information, then they come back and whinge at me, and I go, "Well, you should have asked me." Yeah. There's a lot of people who go out there and come back and go, "Oh, we didn't do this and this." You go, "Well, why?" And they go, "Well, I didn't know it was there." Really funny. It's not a holiday. It's a
No,
it's a way of life.
If you go to Sydney, you buy a guidebook. If you're going to Rome, you buy a guidebook. Why don't you buy a guidebook when you're going to Disney?
People don't. How many people do you know, though, day to day, come back and they complain? You go, "Well, why didn't you know that was there?"
Yeah.
That's very true.
They do ask you some questions, but yeah, I know what you mean.
So, yes, also, I totally agree with that one.
I also want to add on to that one as well. Email those podcasts, the people who run the podcasts that you listen to, put stuff on forums, stick stuff on your statuses on Facebook as well, because you will often find that people will respond to all of those different things. You know, we're constantly getting emails and things from people or messages on Facebook saying, "Can you
please
ask
go
us
away?
You know, please leave us alone.
Who are you?
Can you give us some info on this? Can you give us info on this?" And we're more than happy to do that because, you know, we do this because we love Disney. We do it because we think we have some knowledge that we want to share with people. And it's a free service. You know, it's free to email us. It's free to leave voicemails. It's free to put stuff on Facebook and on our forums as well, ironorlando.com/forum or disneybrit.com/forum. You go on there and just post stuff on there. And we reply to things. There are several other people. There's a lot of other people on there now that are on replying to posts as well. They're just a really useful tool that doesn't cost you a single penny.
Woohoo!
There you go. Right, number four then. They talk about 11.32% is to buy a park hopper and used fast passes.
Used fast passes, not used fast passes.
No, use fast passes.
Used fast passes are no good to anyone.
They're no good to anyone whatsoever.
Yeah, but then on the flip side of it, listen to podcasts and read guidebooks to understand what to do with them, because there's no point getting fast passes because if you don't know what your plan is, because you can actually box yourself into a corner and not just use it for a long period of time. So I think they go hand in hand.
But I had this conversation. We went in the summer. We took a couple of friends with us who had never, ever been before. And I was trying to explain this FastPass thing to them. And, you know, we went to Soarin' to get FastPasses. And there was a two-hour wait for Soarin'. And I just, you know, I was trying to explain that there is never, ever a reason to stand in a two-hour queue for Soarin' if there's fast passes left, because that's the whole point of what a fast pass is. There's no point standing in a queue if you know there's a fast pass available for you to collect, because you work your time well enough so that you know you're going to be able to go back at this point, be able to go back at this point. You know, I just don't get the logic of people going, "Oh, there's fast pass available, or there's a 2-hour queue, or let's get in the 2-hour queue." I know there are people who have to leave early and those things like that, and may want to get on the attraction before they go, you know, leave and go away back to home. But I just don't get the logic of people joining queues when they're still fast passes.
Crazy people.
Crazy
people. They are people. They're our first time visitors, aren't they? They are the people who don't understand what fast pass is.
Exactly. And this is the point. I think you've got to read the book and understand fast pass to understand fast pass, if that makes any sense. Otherwise, either you're going to miss it, you're not going to use it right, or... You know, look at some of our hints and tips we've done. But yeah.
Shall we just quickly explain what FastPass is then, just in case there's anybody listening who doesn't know what it is?
I haven't got a clue. What is it?
Okay, I haven't got a clue what it is. Right, yes, you have. So you've got your park ticket, and there are certain attractions that have FastPass. If you look on your park map, they are the ones that are highlighted with an FP in like a red rectangle almost. And what you do is you go to the attraction and then you find where the fast pass machines are. You insert your park ticket and then it gives you your park ticket back, and it also gives you another ticket. That ticket tells you the attraction at the top of it. It tells you the date, and it also gives you a return time in which to come back to ride that attraction. And what you do is you then put that away somewhere safe, and then you go off and enjoy the rest of the park. You return to that ride at the given time on your Fastpass ticket, and then that allows you to get onto that attraction with a minimal wait. So if it was Soarin', for example, and there was a 2-hour queue for Soarin', and you got your fast pass, and your fast pass said come back in an hour's time, you'd go off and enjoy the rest of the park for an hour, you'd come back with your fast pass, you'd go through the separate fast pass entrance, hand over your ticket, and at that point you would be able to go straight to the ride. You'd probably queue 15, maybe 20 minutes. The one thing is, though, with fast passes, once you've got one for one attraction, at the bottom of the ticket, it will tell you when you are eligible for getting another fast pass ticket. That is usually one of two ways. It's usually at the time your fast pass becomes available to use, or 2 hours after you've obtained that fast pass. It depends on which one is closer, basically. That covers it all, I think, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I think you just automatically said there the fact people need to understand it, because I think you've explained it. And you can sit there thinking, oh, God, what does it still mean?
Yeah. The other thing they say on this is park hoppers. Do you think that park hoppers are essential?
It depends what you want to do as a family and look at your budget. Because, one, you know, you might break it down so one day you're only doing one park and then the next park, etc. If you know, as Craig said, you might have a shorter vacation and you need to do multiple parks, park hopper. But you buy the ticket that you need for your family, and it goes back to, even though we take the mickey out of it a bit, of making a spreadsheet of what you think you need to do.
And obviously in the UK, the tickets you buy from this country automatically include your park hopper anyway.
Yeah.
It is only in the US where you have to pay extra for those park hoppers. I think it's an extra, is it $50 for one day? It's an awful lot anyway. I personally don't think you have to have park hopper. I think if you've done your research well enough and you know it well enough and you know which parks you're going to go to, it's very rare I park hop anyway. There's the odd occasion where we might do it, but we usually will plan out our days that we spend day here. And we might decide to park hop because there might be an attraction we missed. Last summer, we wanted to get on Everest. We didn't manage to get on it because the queue was massive and there was no fast pass. So we got up early one morning, we got to the park for opening, rode Kilimanjaro again, rode Everest, and then went and met everybody else over at the water park. It was Magic Kingdom. So we did park up on that particular day. But to be honest, if you haven't got the budget to buy a park hopper, don't do it. Okay, number three. Another interesting one. 13.75% of people who posted comments said that number three should be to get the dining plan.
Oh, I don't think so.
No.
See what you need first before you're going into that, because it can be something that should actually cost you more than you need.
It's not free, that's the thing. You pay for it. Even if it's free, the rooms are more expensive, so daft.
Who's written this? Disney themselves?
No, this was people who had suggested all of these ideas from the comment that Disney put up. Dining plan is a nice idea. We're using dining plan this year because we got it free with a hotel room. We didn't pay much more for a hotel room. We paid £900 for our Saratoga one room suite villa, whatever you want to call it. And we got our dining included. Now, we paid £900 for that. We would have paid £600 to have stayed at All Stars. And we tried to work out how much we would spend on food over the space of 10 days. And we worked out probably to be about £350 to £400. So for us, getting the free dining plan was a positive. It's not our first trip either, so we know a lot of the dining locations. It means we're having the opportunity to go and eat in places that we've not eaten in before as well, which is nice. But I don't think first-time diners need the dining plan. We talked about this whole idea of fast pass, about how it limits people on time, needing to be where they want to go. Whereas with the dining plan, it limits them even more, especially as you've then got to think to yourself, not only getting the dining plan, but they then have to understand about advanced ADRs, the 90 days out, and being able to, it's more than that, it's 180 days now, being able to know about that, being able to get the right ADRs. Because if they go and buy the dining plan, and they don't realise that they have to pre-book all of the places to get into the place that they want to go and eat, then they're going to end up disappointing when they arrive and try and get into restaurants they're not going to be able to get into. So for me, the dining plan just doesn't work for me in that sense. You know, you need to understand Disney before you can then begin to understand, before paying out more for dining plan. Plus, the dining plan now for a decent one is about £35 a day for adults. Mm-hmm. And I think it's probably better for you to budget £35 a day per person, and then keep that in a wallet or an envelope or whatever for just your money for food, and then see just how you go, and just go a little bit ad hoc, I suppose. But I don't agree with number three. I don't think dining plan is definitely the way to go for first timers.
I agree 100% with you. It's the first time, I wouldn't do it. What I do, presiding, is exactly what you said. We actually have envelopes that we actually have exact amount of money for the whole day. And what happens is, if we don't spend that money on food, I roll that money into our going to get something extra pot. And at the end of our vacation, we then go to Downtown Disney and we buy things that we think, oh, we've saved money. And I've done that with, you know, all sorts of things, saved hundreds of dollars. And that's more to me, bringing something home from Disney, than eating a dining plan.
That's very scary, because we do the same thing. I keep all of the money and I split it up into how many days we've got. And then I take that much money out with me to the parks.
We're like twins.
We are a bit like twins. And then the money that we have left over, then that just rolls over. And rather than rolling it over, I just add to it the money for the next day with what I've got left there. And then I obviously end up with more money towards the end of holiday. Yeah. Craig, how do you do it?
I don't really kind of budget that. I have a rough idea of kind of money for a week is what I tend to do. And then, you know, it just kind of gets spent or not spent, and if it gets spent, then, you know, we'll eat inside a couple of times rather than going out. If it doesn't get spent, then we might go out for an extra night's dinner. We tend to kind of not eat out every day, because you'll end up like really bloater, and so we just kind of, and some days obviously we don't go to parks or anything, so I just kind of budget on a week really. But then I'm not at parks every day, so it's slightly different, I suppose.
That's very, very true. Yeah, you're a very different kettle of fish to our first timers.
I am a different kettle of fish, yes.
You are. Right, let's get to number two then. So number two, 16.75% decided that wearing comfortable shoes and clothing is the best way to go.
Yeah, can't disagree. Make sure, do not take new shoes. Make sure you've worn them, because you will do, they can work out an average 8 miles a day or something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Crocs are brilliant. My wife swears by Crocs.
Yes, I've got Crocs. They are great.
Oh, I thought they were just a girl shoe.
The comfortable clothing thing again. I'm not going to... Sure, no, they're not. I've got Crocs, and I've got the little badges in the front of them that are all Disney characters. I've got Mickey and Buzz and all sorts on the front of them.
Oh, God.
Me and Harry have got them, and we swapped them.
What, shoes? Same size?
Shoes, yeah. Yeah, the little badges that go on the front, me and Harry swap them, so we have different ones. We change them each day. There you go, I'm playing swapsies with a three-year-old. We talk about, don't get me on my soapbox, to do with clothing and football shirts. Although saying that, it's red hot here today, and I'm sat here in my England football shirt roasting to death. But, you know, clothing's really important. Don't wear anything that is thick. Don't wear anything that's dark clothing, because it will attract the sunlight. But wear comfortable shoes, I think, is a brilliant thing. I bought a pair of Clarks shoes last year. I never shop in Clarks, and I saw these Clarks shoes. They were in the sale. They were comfortable, and they are the most comfortable shoes I have ever worn around Disney theme park. But the one thing I will say is, don't go out and go, right, a week before your holiday, we must go shopping for all our clothes. We must go and get our new pairs of shoes and our trainers and stuff. Buy them a good few months out for your trip. I've just literally last couple of weeks ago bought my new trainers for my trip for this year, and I'm wearing them because I'm wearing them in before I go. So they will be comfortable shoes when I'm walking around the park, because as Jez quite rightly says, you're going to be walking 8 to 10 miles a day. And, you know, at the end of the day, I always have that feeling at the end of the day, my legs are absolutely killing me, you know, because I've walked so much. But you want to have still those comfortable shoes to wear. So you need to sort of wear them in almost before you go on your trip. Craig, you got anything else to add to that one?
Yeah, buy your shoes when you get there and go buy some Skechers, because they're the most comfortable shoes you'll ever have.
Skechers flip-flops I walk around the parks in as well. I've never worn flip-flops around the park, and I wore Skechers flip-flops last year and they were really comfortable. Right, number one then. The top thing that these 5,000 respondents to the Disney's First Timer survey, 19.88% of all posts said that the number one thing to do is to relax and enjoy your trip.
What kind of advice is that?
That's a really weird one, isn't it?
We just spent $5,000. We're going to sit there and just do nothing. No, the number one is plan your trip so you and your family get the utmost out of it and enjoy yourself. Planning is number one.
I'm amazed that Extra Magic House doesn't appear on there. Use Extra Magic House.
Because it's done by Disney, so they don't want you to use it.
I just find it strange. So, you know, like Magic Kingdom's open till 2 a.m. Goodness me, yes, we'll have a lie-in. We might go into the parks mid-afternoon and stay till 2 a.m. when you can jump on Splash Mountain with no queue because there's nobody there and it's still red hot, so it doesn't matter if you get wet. I just think Extra Magic House is a bizarre one to be missing off of that top 10. But yeah, relax and enjoy your trip. Okay, yes, you've got to enjoy your trip. And we've always said this, that if you get to the point where you're in the park and your family are starting to have a go at each other and getting grouchy,
leave them behind to keep going.
Yeah, yeah, you just go, tough, come on.
Cut loose.
I want to ride Muppets, come on. No, you know, you do that at that point, turn around and say, right, okay, I think we've had enough for now. Let's go and have a rest. Let's go and relax. And you've got to enjoy it. You know, no matter what you plan, no matter what your schedule says, etc., you've still got to know that this is a holiday and you still want to be able to enjoy yourself. And in a way, you don't want to come back off your holiday needing another holiday, although that normally happens to me anyway. Yeah. But have you got any other tips there that you think that they're missing that are vital?
I don't know. I think probably need to go away and think about this because I don't think that's a very good top 10.
Do you think we should come up with our own top 10?
Yes, I do. Yes.
Okay. So there we go. For a future segment, we're going to come up with our own top 10 for first time travelers to Disney. But I thought it was a piece of, it was a press release that Disney released this week. And I read it and thought, oh, some really interesting ones on there. And I thought, while it was fresh in my mind and while Disney just released it, I thought we'd have a discussion about it and see what we thought.
Perhaps we should ask all our Facebookers and we'll have our own proper Disney Brit top 10.
Good idea. Why don't we do that?
Just had an idea.
That's his only one he's having this year. We won't get anything else out of him.
A little bit weak now.
Right, thank you guys for joining. Thank you for joining me on this week's show.
We love to, even though we've been very, very ill.
Yes, they've been very, very poorly, and they've been ever so brave. They've done ever so well.
You said we could get a smiley sticker for coming on. And a
I'm
going to
give you a smiley sticker and a lollipop. Yes. And also, I'd like your sick notes in, please, because I need to send them off to HR.
Can I point out that we no longer have sick notes? We have fit notes.
Fit notes. In that case, can I have your fit note to send off to human resources, please?
I can't afford one because it's counted as a luxury item and it's 20% VAT. Sorry.
Right, thank you, guys.
Bye, matey.
See you later.
Bye.
Awesome!
There you go. That rounds up this edition of the show. Thank you once again for joining us. And we thank our sponsors at Attraction Tickets Direct and Complete Orlando. You can find them at attractiontickets.co.uk and completeorlando.co.uk. Thanks, as always, to Juz and Craig for joining in with me with their words of wisdom and their strange sense of humour. But also, we love to hear from you, so make sure to email us your questions, comments and suggestions to podcast@disneybrit.com. You can also ring our voicemail numbers if you're in Europe. The best number is 0121-288-2858. And in the good old USA, 407-545-7980. Make sure to check out our website at www.disneybrit.com and check out our Facebook pages and our Disney Brit fan pages. And you can friend up myself, Juz, and Craig over there. And thanks to those people who are continuing to leave reviews over on iTunes. It really is a great help. So thank you to all of you who are continuing to do that. You can also find our YouTube channel. We've not put something on there for a while. We need to really update that. And hopefully we'll be doing that over the next couple of months. That's Disney Brit Podcast. You can still buy copies of The Minnie Mouse from Amazon in the US and the UK, as well as order it from Waterstones, Borders and WH Smiths. I don't plug that book enough, apparently, so there you go. There's another one. But also check out our sister podcast at Eye on Orlando and our forum, disneybrit.com/forum. Loads of stuff going on there. And we're hopefully going to be using that forum over the coming months for some new bits and pieces that are going to be interactive to the show. Well, that's it.
All it leaves for me to tell you is that the next show will be on Wednesday, the 7th of July. So, until then, I'll see you.
Hi, this is Lou Mangiello from WDW Radio, and when I'm in the UK, I always listen to the Disney Brit podcast and drink tea and have fish and chips with malt vinegar, of course. Of course, when I'm not in the UK, I'm at WDWRadio.com. Come by and say hi. Adam, Juz, keep up the great work. God save the Queen.
Hi, guys. This is your friend here and pal, Mickey Mouse. I just want you to know that I listen to and love the Disney Brit podcast with my good pals, Craig, Adam, and Juz. Or is it Jules? Or is it Juvy, Jazzy, Jazzy, Jeff? Jazzy Jeff, that's right. Craig, Adam, and Jazzy Jeff. Anyhow, listen. Make sure y'all listen, too, okay? See y'all real soon. Anyway, hope you're all sorted, man. Oh, hey, yeah, that's the end of the message. Bye-bye!
Yee-haw! Hello, music lovers. This is Bob Jackson from Walt Disney World's Port Orleans Riverside Resort, giving a big shout-out to all his friends listening to the Disney Brit Podcast. I perform at Port Orleans Riverside every Wednesday through Saturday, and I want to invite all of you out to the show. We'll be watching for you.